Yankees for the Great Liberty Net on this Saturday night, 2020. Do I have any check-ins? Over.
Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango.
KE0DRT, good evening.
Well, good evening to you, Bob. Well, the band's kind of weak again this week, but we'll try it again and see what happens.
Yeah, the band is not cooperative, but I hear you okay from Joplin, Missouri. Again, a lot of white noise, but your audio is making it through. Over.
Roger, roger.
All righty, well, I'll be back with you shortly. You're number two on my list. So this is BKJOY looking for check-ins for the Great Liberty Net this Saturday night. Over.
November 9, Mike, India, Charlie. November 9, Mike, India, Charlie.
I hear a call in there with the word Charlie, but I cannot pull you out. Over.
Okay, sir, one more time. November 9, Mike, India, Charlie.
November 9, Mike, India, Charlie, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct. Up here, northwest of Chicago.
All right, Michael, I have you in there in Hanover Park. Good evening. Your voice is a little light, but hopefully the band will increase. You never know with this 75 meters. So I've got you on the list, sir. You're number three.
Okay, 73. Thank you.
Roger, roger. CQ, CQ, looking for check-ins for the Great Liberty Net. This is KAJOY.
W2GIO, Frank in Fishkill, New York.
Hello, Frank. W2GIO. Nice, strong signal tonight out of you.
Well, you are always very consistent, so I suspect it's kind of, we got a good pop, or I got the antenna in the right direction. It doesn't turn by itself. It only turns when the Earth turns.
Oh, it's one of those kind of antennas. Well, it's dependent on the Earth. Hopefully, climate change doesn't move it too much.
And 4 ROQ.
There you go, another country.
Mr. Larry, good evening, N4ROQ, and how are you tonight?
Hanging in there, buddy, hanging in. You're sounding good down here.
I'm telling you, there's very few nights that your 100 watts does not make it up here to Ohio. I don't know how it does it, but you do well with your 100 watts.
Thank you very much.
Let me see if I can get a few more before I kick open the door. CQ, CQ, looking for check-ins for the Great Liberty Net. This is KAJOY.
WB9RWY.
Could you say that phonetically for me, please?
WB9RWY.
Alrighty, I'm really having a hard time. I know it's Whiskey Romeo 9. What's the last three?
Radio Whiskey Yankee, RWY, over.
Okay, let me know if I have it correct. Whiskey Romeo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee.
It's Whiskey Baker 9, WB9RWY, over.
Alrighty, on the WB9, thank you. So I'm assuming that's James up there in Wisconsin, correct?
That's Roger. I should copy, by the way, over.
I did not hear the question. I'm sorry, the white noise is pretty bad. What was your statement again?
Okay, I just asked you how well you're talking and how far down below the noise then. So you're hearing a lot of noise. I'll be listening on the side until my turn, over.
Alrighty, we will be to you. You are number 6 on the list, over. Okay, Okay, I'm going to try one more time. I'm looking for that Jesse. I don't know where that old boy is.
So, CQ, this is KAJOY.
Nothing heard, so I'm going to open the door. So good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current event discussion net on amateur radio now, and since the year of 1974, founded by Mr. Victor, W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, not the Pyrite Net. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the Real Liberty Net. To open the door, I'm going to address it with a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. With that being said, the first thing I want to start out with, I don't know why I did this, but I decided to Google the First Amendment. And it reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So there are five freedoms that are protected: speech, religion, press, assembly, and the right to petition the government. Before agreeing to accept the Constitution, the founders of our Democratic Republic demanded that these freedoms be protected by an amendment to the original document. There is no legal age you have to reach to exercise your First Amendment freedoms. They are guaranteed to you the day you are born. There's also no citizenship required for the First Amendment protection. That kind of surprised me. If you're in the U.S., you have the freedom of speech, religion, press, assembly, and petition. I guess I really thought you had to be a citizen, but it says no. The First Amendment protects us against government limits on our freedom of expression, but it doesn't prevent a private employer from setting his own rules. So with those different protections, speech, press, religion, and the one I wanted to read again is assembly. Our right to gather in a peaceful public protest, in marches, in rallies, or other assembly is another core freedom guaranteed by the First Amendment. As the First Amendment scholar says in his overview, quote, First Amendment freedoms ring hollow if government officials can repress expression that they fear will create a disturbance or offense. Unless they are a real danger of intimate harm, assembly rights must be respected. I hear a lot of talk with these masks and the fact that it does restrict our freedom. I just was reading that one to kind of throw out that it possibly is the application that we would make. With that being said, good evening again, and I'm going to turn it over to my first check-in, Mr. Bill, Pennsylvania, KO4FE. This is KAJOY.
Okay. KAJOY Liberty Net, KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, this first story involves, the famous self-hating white woman who's turned white bashing into a $6,000 an hour job, Robin DiAngelo. I did a quick scan of her Wikipedia page. I mean, she's got a degree in sociology, multicultural education, you know, a couple other basically degrees that are utterly useless on the free market. So, you know, with a person like that, undoubtedly with a load of student debt, because she doesn't have any money, her family was poor, how is she going to pay for all these student loans? Well, she's figured out a way she can make quite a bit of money by delivering two-hour rants against white people. Well, anyway, but the problem is she's in trouble here. I love it when the left gets into these controversies where they have these conflicting and hypocritical situations. Well, anyway, here's a headline, Breitbart. University of Wisconsin-Madison paid black diversity event keynote speaker less than white fragility author Robin DiAngelo. Uh-oh, she's always going off about white privilege. Well, I guess she didn't mind enjoying some white privilege because she got paid more for her speech than the black person that was at the event. Well, anyway, let's get into this. The University of Wisconsin-Madison paid white fragility author Robin DiAngelo nearly $13,000 for a recent keynote speech at a recent diversity event that was hosted by the university. However, a second keynote speaker, black author Austin Channing Brown, was paid far less than DiAngelo. Uh-oh. According to the report, I wonder if DiAngelo will give some of her $13,000 that she was paid for a speech, give it over to this Austin Channing Brown. You know, she's got that white privilege that she's always talking about, condemning others for it, but she's not going to, I doubt if she's going to give any money up. Well, anyway, getting back to the story, according to the report, the University of Madison has come under fire this week after the pay disparity between two recent keynote speakers. Robin DiAngelo, the author of the best-selling White Fragility, was paid substantially more than the second keynote speaker, black female author Austin Channing Brown. DiAngelo was paid nearly $13,000 for speaking at the event, while Channing received just $7,500. The disparity was brought to light by the Washington Free Beacon. Now the university is facing criticism over its failure to live up to its own standards on diversity and inclusion. Critics allege that the university's willingness to pay DiAngelo, a white author, more to speak on race than a black author, violates the principles espoused by both the university and its diversity principles and DiAngelo in her popular book. DiAngelo argues in her book that white people are quote-unquote fragile when responding to racial stress. Yeah, racial stress. They always come up with these euphemisms. In other words, if you complain about white bashing as it comes from people like DiAngelo, then you're under racial stress and you're fragile. Anyway, DiAngelo claims that white fragility is most evident when white people are tasked with acknowledging their own privilege or burdens faced by minorities. Well, wonder if DiAngelo is going to have any of this racial stress and fragility when it was pointed out that she got paid almost double what the black speaker at the same event got. Wonder what she's going to do about that. Probably nothing, because these leftists are notorious hypocrites when it comes to things like this. Ethelene, listen to this name. Ethelene Whitmire. Could you imagine, who would name a kid Ethelene? Anyway, Ethelene Whitmire, chair of the University of Madison's Department of Afro-American Studies, refused to comment on the pay disparity when questioned by College Fix. The department has not discussed this topic, Whitmire said. Breitbart News reported on July 8, 2018 that Google hosted Robin DiAngelo for a conversation about white fragility. DiAngelo argued during the speech that all white people collude to oppress minorities. Wonder if she was colluding. to get paid to almost double what the black speaker got. I could describe our culture as white supremacist and say things like all white people are invested in and collude with the system of racism without my fellow white people running from the room. D'Angelo said during her lecture at Google, according to one employee, I don't understand that. I would tell her, I'd probably sit there and give her the double bird if she started accusing me of white supremacy and what's the other one they use? Fragility and colluding. I've never colluded to oppress anyone. It sounds like she's colluding. She's even, at the University of Madison, she's even colluding with the black Ethelene Whitmire to pay less money to black speakers. I don't know, sounds like some flagrant hypocrisy going on there. So anyway, Bob, I'm not going to hold it on this one because you never know what's going to happen with the band, and I want everybody to at least get a chance on the first go-around. So anyway, I'll pass it back to you. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
All righty, Bill. Your signal came up a little bit here, so that's a good sign. KO4FE, KHOY. And then I will jump down to the... Oh, I have to say, though, maybe the first speaker had either better credentials or she's the first, the keynote speaker, so, you know, usually the person who's the number one speaker would be paid more, I don't know, but it is interesting that there's a $6,000 difference in their pay. That's ridiculous. All righty, Mr. William in Joplin, Missouri, KE0DRT. It's your turn, sir. What do you have for us? Over.
Good evening, everybody, on the Liberty Net, KAAJOY. This is KE0VRT. First thing I want to read is about truth. The truth isn't found on your TV screen, and the road tools aren't readily available. Truth is intentionally made hard to find because truth brings freedom, and your freedom is their greatest threat. Listen, freedom is fought for. It's paid for with the blood, sweat, and tears of the patriots. Freedom is not on the menu of government freebies, and it's not something the mainstream media is just going to hand you via the truth. Freedom has a price, and if you want it, you've got to pay for it. You've got to join in the fight for freedom and march with all the freedom fighters who've gone on before you. And it begins with turning off your TV and taking back your mind. So now I want to switch over to narcissism, the subject I was wanting to bring up last week, the destructive force of narcissistic injury. The reason I'm bringing up this deal about narcissism is we seem to be dealing with narcissism real bad with the Democrats, as well as their flying monkeys, which I single-handedly got that term flying monkey banned off of Facebook and YouTube last weekend. So anyway, narcissists suffer from what the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders defined as narcissistic injury. Vulnerability and self-esteem, which makes narcissistic people very sensitive to injuries and criticism or defeat. Although they may not show it outwardly, criticism may haunt these individuals and may leave them feeling more degraded, hollow, and empty. They react with disdain, rage, or defiant counterattack. The narcissist may act arrogant and haughty and put on a show that nothing bothers them, and this facade makes it difficult for you to see their inward self-loathing. You may be thinking, are you kidding me? He or she thinks they are the hardest thing on earth and no one can measure up to them. But as they do not have a solid, developed sense of self, narcissists swing from depression to grandiosities with little in between. This presentation deceives others until those people get to know a narcissist. And a narcissist, the thought of charm and deception looks like their whole world bursts apart. They will blame you for those feelings of inadequacy, lack of happiness, and lack of love. When narcissists feel they have lost, or when they feel rejected or abandoned, they don't forget it. We have all felt abandoned or rejected at times in our lives, and most of us get over it with a little time and processing of feelings. We move on. But the narcissist does not. Narcissists are not enough in touch with their own feelings to move on. The issues remain in their mind is it's all your fault and how could you do this to me, they want to strike back.
Well, we've heard that before out of the politicians, haven't we?
Anyway, I'll continue on. The counterattacks enforces the strain and rage from the narcissist can make you feel bored with no restraint. They can come in the form of email, text, letters, verbal abuse, social media attacks, or in-person abuse. And I'll go ahead and add internet trolls to that and QRMers here on the radio. This narcissistic rage seems to come out of nowhere. It can leave you feeling confused and afraid. What will they do next? Why does that person do this?
It really makes no rational sense because it is clearly the projection of their own feelings onto others.
The lack of accountability in the narcissist is astounding.
When you expect that they will see the error of their ways and apologize, you will find them defending themselves.
Kind of like swallow the same thing, huh?
Somehow they find a way to make it all about you and it becomes all your fault.
You made me react that way. You did this or that to create my rage.
It's important to understand the concept of narcissistic injury so it can be identified in everyday life.
It may be found in our relationships, our leaders, our bosses, and our families.
It affects us because it is harmful and abusive.
It leaves one doubting and wondering what they did to cause the chaos and destructive behavior.
I see people struggling to come to terms with narcissistic behavior in the media, politics, families, and love relationships. Because the narcissist also does not have the ability to give empathy. Issues related to them rarely get resolved.
And you see a lot of narcissism in politics, and we got the flying monkeys and the media, the trolls on the internet, and the QRMers here on the radio. And it's all working for the narcissist up at the top.
That's all I have to say from the first round. So, JLY, this is turning you zero. VRT, back to you.
Thank you, William. KE0VRT, KJY. Well, to me, the two greatest comments you made was about our freedom and about the narcissist, their lack of accountability. Those are two comments that really ring true, so thank you. Appreciate it. Next on my list is Michael. November 9th, Mike, India Charlie in the great state of Illinois. The table is yours, over. November 9, MIC, this is KHOI.
I'm not hearing anything, Bob.
Alrighty, since Frank has such a good station in New York, Frank, are you hearing the other gentleman?
I heard nothing.
Alrighty, well then I will pass. I'll go to Mr. Frank. Whiskey 2, Gulf, India, Oscar, this is KAHJOY. What say you?
Okay, W2GIO, good old Fish Patch, New York. The only thing I have is I listened to this guy on the hippie radio station from New York City, WBAI. It's only supported by contributions from people like us or whoever. Anyway, there's a guy in there by the name of Gary Null. He's been on that station for 40 years, and he's into healthy living, and he's got a PhD in nutrition and that kind of stuff. Anyhow, he had a rebroadcast of a Senate testimony by a doctor who was involved with an organization called the COVID Care Critical Alliance. And what they did is they've been looking, there's 2,000 doctors involved with this project, and in the last couple of months, 3-4 months, they've been looking at reusing some of the existing medicines to combat the coronavirus. And they found one called ivermectin, I-V-E-R-M-E-C-T-I-N, ivermectin. And it acts as a prophylactic to keep the coronavirus from being able to enter somebody's cells, normal healthy cells. Anyhow, I just put it out there. I'm doing some studying about it. They've done some experiments, and they've got some good technical reports, and they actually were in front of the Senate, one of the, I don't know, what, some committee, and asking them to take a look at this, because it's something that they've already been using it in a couple of places, and they had excellent results with people not getting getting the coronavirus, and, you know, done some experiments. So, anyhow, there's, like I say, 2,000 doctors involved in this organization, and they are, again, they call it repurposing an existing drug, and that drug has been around for quite a while, and it's actually used in animals for some purposes of, anyhow, for some purposes. It's an antiviral drug. Anyhow, I'll spell it out again. India Victor, Echo, Romeo, Mike Echo, Cali Tango, India Nancy, Ivermectin. So anyhow, it sounded, I had one of my IBM failure analysis experts is looking into this too. He's very much into studying about the medical stuff. And so that's the long and the short of me, W2GIO.
Alrighty, Frank, I have to ask, how many watts are you running over?
Let me look. About 400 to 500.
Alrighty, you've got a great signal here into Ohio. You're like 20 over. So I just had to throw that out. So the further away you are, I guess the better signal it gets back to me. So thank you, sir. W2GIO, KHLI. Next is the great state of Tennessee, and I think Larry only runs 100 watts. N4ROQ, KAHJOY.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. All right, I got a little bit of noise down here tonight for some reason. A little bit of hissing in there, so we'll see how I can do the listening. But I can hear most everyone so far, so everyone's sounding pretty good. Here's an article regarding the 737 MAX. It's back in service with Brazil flight, but I've heard that a lot of companies have canceled their orders for it. So this is from Rio de Janeiro. It says, commercial flights with Boeing 737 MAX jetliners resumed Wednesday for the first time since they were grounded worldwide following two deadly accidents nearly 2 years ago. Brazil's GOL Airlines became the first in the world to return the planes to its active fleet using a 737 MAX 8 on a flight from San Pablo to Porto Alegre. According to FlightRadar24.com. So that's a good website to put down. We can, I'm going to have to remember to put that down myself. So you can probably get on there and see a lot of planes just all over the world, you know. FlightRadar24.com. So you might want to write that down. The company's own announcement didn't specify the route of the flight. GOL is set to start regular service on December the 18th, according to aviation data firm Cirium, with several daily flights between São Paulo and other major Brazilian cities. Customers will be able to exchange their tickets if they don't want to fly on a 737 MAX, a spokesman said. GOL, the country's largest airline, owns seven 737 MAX aircraft, according to Cirium. It is the only Brazilian company with a model in its fleet. The Boeing plane was grounded globally in March 2019, shortly after the 737 MAX crashed in Ethiopia. A prior crash in Indonesia occurred in October 2018, where 346 people died. Here's a F-16 crashes in Michigan during training. A fighter jet crashed in a national forest in Michigan's Upper Peninsula following a training mission. researchers were looking Wednesday for the pilot.
Do you know when they put like training mission and different things like that?
It could have been after something, or you know, that
went down for something.
It is most possible it's not a training mission.
At the peninsula, while on a training mission, they're saying, while searchers were looking Wednesday for the pilot, who was the only person aboard. Authorities said the F-16 fighter Falcon assigned to the Wisconsin Air National Guard 115th Fighter Wing at Truax Field Air National Guard Base crashed about 8 p.m. Tuesday, the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs said in a statement. U.S. bombers fly to Middle East in mission to deter Iran. Comes from Washington, and a new show of military might. Two American bomber aircraft took off from the United States and flew over a swath of the Middle East on Thursday, sending what U.S. officials said was a direct message of deterrence to Iran. The flight of the B-52H shuttle Fortress bombers over the region, the second such mission in less than a month, was designed to underscore America's commitment to the region. Adversaries often complain about bomber flights in the region, deeming them a provocative show of force. German prosecutors shelve case against ex-Nazi guard in the U.S. German prosecutors comes from Berlin, shelving their investigation into a former Nazi concentration camp guard living in the United States for lack of evidence, authorities said Thursday. Frederick Carl Berger, 95. There are going to be hardly any more of these people for trial because they're all getting pretty old right now. 95 years old, still faces possible deportation from the U.S. after being ordered expelled by a Memphis, Tennessee court in February. He admitted to serving as a guard at a camp in northwestern Germany for a few weeks near the end of the war, but as said, he did not observe any abuse or killings, the DPA news agency reported. Okay. Trump announces Israel and Morocco to normalize relations. Israel and Morocco agreed to normalize relations, President Donald Trump said Thursday, marking the fourth Arab-Israeli agreement in 4 months. As part of the deal, the United States will recognize Morocco's claim over the disputed Western Sahara region. Trump said Israel and Morocco would restore diplomatic and other relations, including the immediate reopening of liaison offices in Tel Aviv and Rabat, or Rabat. In the eventual opening of embassies, U.S. officials said there would be joint overflight rights for airlines. So that's something there. And let's see, one more article here, and we'll turn it to you. This is regarding three Muslim men on no-fly list, can sue FBI. This comes from the USA Today. Richard Wolf says the Supreme Court support for religious freedom was extended Thursday to three Muslim men placed on a no-fly list as punishment for refusing to become government informants. This is probably a liberal Democrat writing this article. In a unanimous ruling written by Associate Justice Thomas, the court ruled that the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 permits monetary damages in addition to injunction relief. The case involved Mohammed Tazar Jamil Agaba, that's a good guess at it, in the Shawala
all practicing Muslims. They claim that FBI agents took him on the government's no-fly list because they would not spy on fellow Muslims. The Department of Homeland Security eventually removed the restrictions and let him fly. But the men claim they lost job opportunities. A person whose exercise of religion has been unlawfully burdened may obtain appropriate relief against the government, Thomas wrote, quoting the federal law. These people are just suing for everything. New Associate Justice Amy Coney Barrett did not participate in the case because she was not confined in time to hear oral arguments in October. The High Court has consistently defended religious freedom in recent years, most recently last month when it blocked rules in New York and California that severely restricted gatherings and houses of worship in areas hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic. Okay, thank you, Bob, for running the net. Sounding good. Hope the band holds up and back to net there. KAHJY from N4ROQ.
Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, KHOI. Let me ask you to clarify. I'm assuming it would be www, the word flight, the word radar, and the number 24.com, correct?
That's correct. FLIGHT, radar, RADAR, 24.com. Check that out. I haven't checked it out, but it may be one of those really good websites that I've seen before on different places that have planes flying all over all over the world. So that'd be good if that's it. Back to you.
Alrighty, well, I wrote it down, and the one gentleman here locally that's recording and usually listening, KBATRK, I'll bet he knows about that one because he's kind of into the airport and what goes on. So I'll have to find out, look myself. Thank you. That's a good piece of information. Enjoy that. Alrighty, let me go to Iron River, Wisconsin. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. Mr. James, it is your turn. Over.
Okay, thank you, Bob. This is WB9RWY with the Liberty Net. This week I was disturbed to hear that none of the cases of election fraud are going to be heard by the Supreme Court, and they denied hearing them, but so I guess that means we're in a banana republic now. And I just want to understand what the rules are for being in a third world banana republic. Can I eventually ask for reparations, for instance, when my vote for vote fraud and how I'm disenfranchised? There are a lot of people saying, well, what are we even voting for if it's already decided without our input? And so I don't know what's going to happen next. Is it going to be all clear now? Is it going to be okay for just anybody to cheat? Are we all free to cheat on elections now? Or just a few people? It's a new rule, so I got to understand the rule. So, that's my comment for the first round. And turn it back to the net control. Pump Hop and Bob, KAHJY from WB9RWY.
The copy was pretty good, and yes, it is kind of frightening. I hate to think that this is the way our elections will go the rest of our natural lives. That really is kind of frightening. So, thank you, James. WB9RWY. This is KHOI. Let me see if I have any late check-ins. This is KHOI for the Great Liberty Net. Do I have anybody waiting to check in?
KB2 Delta, Mike Delta.
WBAYC. I heard KB2 Delta Mike Delta, but I didn't copy what the other station was.
Whiskey Delta Number 8 Alpha Yankee Charlie Rick in Paris, Ohio.
Okay, I got part of it. Does somebody have a better copy for me?
Yeah, I
I think I got WD8AYC. Whiskey Delta 8 Alpha Yankee Charlie. Did I get that right?
Yeah, QSL, that's right. And I'm going to have to tweak my SWR a little bit. Go ahead and go.
Okay, he says that we got it right now.
Alrighty, I have got him in NetLogger. Thank you very much. Yep, Paris, Ohio. Well, let me step over to Richie. He checked in and we're to him already. So KB2DMD, KAHALY. Good evening, Mr. Richie.
Good evening, Bob. And the Liberty Net, KAHALY. This is KB2DMD. Let's see, I came on board right when, in the middle of Lowry, so, okay, some sort of a, computer thing where you can track aircraft flying around. I mean, the first thought that popped into my mind, I wonder if they had that during 9/11. I wonder if on 9/12 you could see, after all the aircraft was grounded, there was like three aircraft leaving the scene, as it were, with the peanut co-conspirators. So it's interesting to ponder. And I guess with Trump's Supreme Court picks leaving him in the lurch on the Texas suit, I guess a lot of people were surprised by that. Of course, I wasn't. Those Supreme Court picks, they were very carefully vetted by the Federalist Society, so we knew they were deep state, just like Barr. But oddly enough, Bob, there's some real in-the-know pundits that remain optimistic that Trump will be in the White House for 2021. Some of them are even saying that he'll be in there for 8 more years. And I'm optimistic as well. I feel the same way. Dr. Steve Pichenik has not wavered one bit. And this guy is plugged into some intel. He's, in fact, I can't remember when he's been wrong about something. And, and he put his reputation behind this one. He said he'd stake his reputation on it. And, of course, I think I mentioned last time that there's been some talk, just utterances, really. I haven't heard anything of substance about extra troops going to Gitmo and a lot of changes being made down there, preparing for some new arrivals. Interesting times. Yeah, the thought of, it's not even a Biden presidency. It's just a communist takeover. 100% coup d'etat. Everybody's worrying about Corona still. Corona, it's on. You can find a Clorox bottle in a dump from 80 years ago, and it says fights Corona, kills Corona. If you look at the true numbers for this COVID-19 business, Bob, the percentage of deaths are so abysmally low. So the whole thing is just blown. So basically, it's making all this fuss over a flu bug, which have come and gone since the day of original sin, pretty much. We've had flu bugs, people get them. Every now and then someone dies from it, and most of the time you get real sick and you vomit a lot, and then you get well and you go back to work. So, but now, the whole country has to be turned upside down, of course, and every great stride the president made in the economy had to be overturned, and everybody's wondering, if only the vaccine would come along. Well, Jones reported a few days ago that the Australian Ministry of Health has stopped giving out the vaccines because, oddly enough, the people that took the vaccines started testing positive for HIV. Isn't that wonderful? So, yeah, the vaccine, as it turns out, is a bioweapon. Big surprise there. When a eugenicist like Bill Gates gets behind it, I mean, he can't even get his stupid operating systems to work right. I'm going to let this guy stick a needle in my arm. anybody that knows about this stuff will tell you this is just something that can't be vaccinated against anyway. But that hasn't stopped the public from clamoring for a vaccine. I have never seen particularly the people in the United States behave as such ignorant sheep in my life. So willing to swallow whatever red herring they're fed, it's just really, really disgraceful. But I don't know. I've not been immersed in the news, but as far as pertinent news that affects us deeply in the here and now, Bob, everything seems to be a question mark. Nobody really knows for sure which way things are headed. And, of course, those that say, oh, it's definitely going to be this or it's definitely going to be that, don't know anything. Really, a strange time in America when, just solid news isn't forthcoming. It's just, I don't ever remember that. So, anyway, with that, I guess those are my comments. It's really a non-comment, isn't it, Bob? KAHJOY, KB2DMD.
No, Ricky, I would not say a non-comment. KB2DMD, KHOY. When it's the top of the list, I've got an article that I want to read, but I'm going to just read a little piece of it because it has to do with, of course, COVID. It's from the ChildrensHealthDefense.org and FreedomPlatform.tv. And it's the survival rate of COVID-19. 0 to 19 years of age, 99.997% survival rate. 20 to 49, 99.98% survival rate. If you're infected with it, you get better. 50 years of age to 69 years of age. 99.5% survival rate. 70 plus years of age, 94.6%. Now that's taking into consideration that the people that did perish had circumstances that would make that even worse for the disease. But those are pretty damn good odds. So I'll read the rest of the article because it's really great, but I'll wait till it's my turn. So I just had to throw that back at you, Richie. Thank you for your comments. KB2DMDKHOY. And at the bottom of my list is Mr. Richard from Paris, Ohio. I'll struggle to hear you, but I'll do my best. Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie. What say you?
Oh, okay. WDAYC here. Oh, I watched some videos on the computer, and I happened to realize it was a Saturday night, and so I came over and got on here. But, I don't know. I was watching a video about a guy that knew a lot about these voting machines, and he spent a lot of time in China, and he spent a lot of time in that other place where they were used. Anyway, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you what I heard, but just go ahead. I'd like to check in here and hear what everybody has to say, and I'll just sit here and listen. And next thing, when it comes around to me, if I have something to comment on, I will. Anyway, this is WDAYC, and turn it back to net control.
All righty, Richard. Just being present is all that's necessary, but we enjoy any comments that anyone brings to the table. Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie, KHOY. Let me see if I have any late check-ins before I go with my next statement. This is KHOY for the Great Liberty Net. Hello, Mr. Moe in the great state of Nebraska. Do you have anything you want to add? Over.
Well, that's what I Chuck. Watch you young people battle this out.
It's going to be a fight one way or another. But by all means, don't nobody take the vaccine.
I haven't been taking vaccines, and I'm still a kicking, and
I'm sure everybody else will,
except this cobalt thing.
If you watch the people on TV that are getting sick, that say they're sick or whatever,
they're short, heavy-set people.
That's my opinion. They're short
and heavy-set, and apparently don't get out to exercise and use their lungs. I'll turn it back to you, Bob. KG0RSA, over.
All righty, sir. Well, it's a pleasure to hear you in there. KD0RSA, KHOY. Well, the article I have again is from childhealthdefense.org, freedomplatform.tv. And it says, people under the age of 50 have a 99.98% survival rate. For people under 50, the odds of dying from COVID are less than or comparable to the flu based on the 99.98 or better. COVID survival rate was reported by the CDC. The average age of death is 78 years of age with multiple health conditions. Only 6% of all deaths reported exclusively had COVID-19 without other conditions. The other 94.4% of the deaths had an average of 2.6 additional health conditions or causes for death. So meaning they had almost three additional things like COPD, congestive heart failure, diabetes, obesity, but not all of them succumbed to it. Massive overstatement of death. Imperial College of London grossly overestimated the death rate of 2.2 million Americans, which justified the original lockdown and mandates. But the 15 days to slow the spread continues. I won't read it all. I like this one part here about Sweden and lockdown. Countries without lockdown, such as Japan, Belarus, and Sweden, have not experienced a more negative course of events than many other countries. Peru had one of the earliest mandated lockdowns due to coronavirus. But now Peru leads the world in coronavirus deaths. Also, a Lucid study finds that full lockdowns did not reduce coronavirus mortality rate. And the last piece that I'll read this turn is an estimated of 75,000 plus additional deaths of despair are projected for the reasons including suicide, drug and alcohol abuse. So there's an expected 75,000 plus. I've already seen, even locally, the suicides over this. So that is a true factor. With that being said, I'm going to give it back to Mr. Bill, KO4FE, KHAY, round number two, sir.
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net, from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, Hunter Biden's under investigation, finally. Well, I guess he has been, but it's been, kept secret for some strange reason. But anyway, let's get into this. Gateway pundit, Hunter Biden under investigation over his business dealings with China and tax affairs. Hunter Biden revealed on Wednesday that he's under investigation by the feds over his taxes. He says, I learned yesterday for the first time that the U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware advised my legal counsel also yesterday that they were investigating my tax affairs. He said, I take this matter very seriously, but I am confident that a professional and objective review of these matters will demonstrate that I handled my affairs legally and appropriately, including with the benefit of professional tax advisors. It says, has suspected Hunter Biden is under federal investigations over his China business dealings that was previously reported by James Rosen at the Sinclair Group. Federal investigation into Hunter Biden and his associates focused on allegations of money laundering that began back in 2018, so evidently he's being investigated not only for his taxes, but also money laundering. According to CNN, Joe Biden, a.k.a. the big guy who got between 10 and 50% of Hunter's money from foreign countries, is not implicated. Now that the election is over, the investigation is entering a new phase. Federal prosecutors in Delaware, working with the IRS Criminal Investigation Agency and the FBI, are taking overt steps such as issuing subpoenas and seeking interviews, the person with knowledge said. Activity in the investigation has been largely dormant in recent months. Now listen to this. Activity in the investigation has been largely dormant in recent months due to Justice Department guidelines prohibiting overt actions that could affect an election, the person said. Well, for crying out loud, if somebody related to a presidential candidate is being investigated, you'd think the people want to know about it before the election. Anyway, investigators have been examining multiple financial issues, including whether Hunter Biden and his associates violated tax and money laundering laws and business dealings in foreign countries, principally China, according to two people briefed on the probe. Some of these transactions involve people who the FBI believes sparked counterintelligence concerns, a common issue when dealing with with Chinese business, according to another source. Investigations began as early as 2018, predating the arrival of William Barr as U.S. Attorney General. Two people briefed on the investigation said, so they've been investigating Hunter Biden for almost 3 years. The existence of the probe will present an immediate test of Biden's promise to maintain the independence of the Justice Department. Hunter Biden received a $1.5 billion loan from the Bank of China after arriving on Air Force Two with Daddy VP Joe Biden back in 2013, but his dealings with China didn't end there. An email to Hunter Biden's partner, Sinohawk's CEO Tony Bobulinski, from a top Chinese official on July 26, 2017, shows the Chinese energy company CEFC proposed a $5 million interest-free loan to the Biden family based on their trust on the Biden family. By trust, they mean leverage and blackmail. The Chinese official asked Tony Bobulinski how the $5 million will be used. The $5 million loan is interest-free, but if the $5 million is used up, should the CEFC keep lending more money to the family? Less than 2 weeks later, on August 8, 2017, $5 million was wired from a CEFC-affiliated investment vehicle to the bank account for Hudson West 3, which spent the next year transferring $4,790,000, it says $4,790,000 directly to Hunter Biden's firm, Alaska, according to Senate documents. Senate investigators described how the Chinese state-owned energy company wired a $5 million loan to Hunter's firm through an investment vehicle to the bank account for Hudson West III, which then dispersed the money to Hunter's firm. That's money laundering. I mean, why would they wire it to this Hunter West the third and then turn around and he sends it to Hunter? Why not just send it directly to Hunter's firm unless there was some kind of shady dealings going on? Hunter Biden and Daddy Joe Biden, a.k.a. the big guy, took billions of dollars from Russia, China, Romania, Ukraine, and other countries, and we don't know if Hunter paid his taxes. What we do know is that Hunter was hit with a huge tax lien in July 2020 over delinquent state income taxes that he magically resolved in 6 days, even though he has no income. A $450,000 tax lien was filed against Hunter in July, and within 6 days, the unemployed, quote, broke, unquote, father of five was able to resolve it within 6 days. Yeah, you remember when he was in court over that stripper that he knocked up, he claimed he was broke. Well, somehow he magically came up with $450,000 to fend off an IRS action. It's unclear if Hunter Biden actually paid off the tax lien. Hunter Biden must have received special treatment from the government because it can take several months or even years to clear up or negotiate a payment plan for such a large tax lien. So anyway, Hunter Biden's investigations are ongoing, and then we got another one, and this is really just proves that, you know, there's one thing Trump has done over the past 4 years that just drives people crazy, and that is he continues to appoint these deep state establishment rhinos to positions, critical positions. I don't understand who's advising him and why he's taking their advice on these things. But anyway, here's a headline. Revealed, Bill Barr knew for months that Hunter Biden was the subject of a federal probe and kept it secret during the run-up to the election as Trump blasts FBI and DOJ. Bill Barr has known about investigations involving Joe Biden's son Hunter since at least the spring, according to a report, and did his best to stop the information leaking out before the election. In news which angered his boss, Donald Trump, the attorney general, whose job is already said to be hanging in the balance, acted to stop the investigation being made public, the Wall Street Journal reported. Justice Department guidelines advise investigators against taking overt action in a run-up to election so as not to be seen as affecting the outcome. They should just do their jobs and to hell with the election. This bullshit of not of stopping investigations because of the election is baloney. If somebody's being investigated for criminal activity, people should know about it before they cast their vote. Anyway, why didn't the fake news media, the FBI, the DOJ report the Biden matter before the election, Trump tweeted on Thursday night? That's a damn good question. Oh, well, it's okay. We won the election anyway. Well, I hope that's the case. Twitter marked his tweet as disinformation. Barr's actions are a reversal of those of former FBI Director James Comey, who felt that he needed to make public news that Hillary Clinton's emails were being investigated. Probably the only good thing Comey ever did. He announced before the election that the investigation was over, but the damage was done. Yeah, and he revealed a few other things, too. Comey said he knew he'd be damned if he announced the investigation and damned if he didn't. Well, Barr didn't care. He was evidently didn't care to let the public know that Hunter Biden was in, up to his ears in investigations. And Joe Biden also. Hunter revealed on Wednesday that he is under federal investigation over his taxes. Well, we went through all that. He's under investigation for taxes and money laundering. So anyway, I'm going to let that go. But anyway, if you want more, it's all over. This came from the Daily Mail. And Gateway Pundit, Breitbart's also covered them. This is KO4FE. Okay, one last story. Listen to this. Oregon defends state coronavirus programs giving federal funds to black people only. Wait a minute. Well, where's the white privilege? I would have figured they'd only be giving it to white people. Apparently, there's some black privilege going on here. State of Oregon, how can they get away with this kind of thing? Discriminating on, I mean, this is overt racial discrimination. But anyway, let's get into the details. The state of Oregon continues to defend a state program that distributes federal coronavirus relief funds to black people and only black people after two separate lawsuits have challenged the program as a violation of the U.S. Constitution. The Oregon State Legislature's Emergency Board created the Oregon Cares Fund this summer with the nightly Black Lives Matter riots raging in Portland to allocate $62 million in funds from the Federal Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act to black residents out of a total of $200 million in total funds. The Oregon Cares Fund website states, quote, the Oregon Cares Fund is targeting investment in the black community from the CARES Act Coronavirus Relief Fund. This fund is meant to provide the black community with the resources it needs to weather the global health pandemic and consequent recession. The Oregon Cares Fund is for black people, black-owned businesses, and black community-based organizations. Well, that's outright in-your-face racism right there. I thought the left was opposed to that. At the time, the Oregon Legislative Council warned that the program might be unconstitutional, especially because the legislature had not shown evidence that past discrimination was responsible for black Oregonians suffering during coronavirus. They said, as discussed below, we think the program may potentially, but not necessarily, violate the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution and the Privileges and Immunity Clauses of the Oregon Constitution. Well, why wouldn't it? Under the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which prohibits states from denying equal protection of the laws to individuals, such states that classify individuals according to race or gender are subject to special scrutiny. Well, I don't know. Is the federal government scrutinizing them? Two federal lawsuits have been filed. One by a logging company, Great Northern Resources, and the other by a Mexican-American coffee shop owner, Maria Garcia. For her trouble, she's been labeled by Latino leaders as being anti-black. In a Facebook post last month, Revolution announced its lawsuit and was attacked by left-wing critics on social media. As the Wall Street Journal's James Freeman noted on Saturday, a federal judge already denied Great Northern Resources' attempt to block further disbursement from the fund, but has yet to rule on the underlying constitutional issues in the case. The first lawsuit is being funded by the Project on Fair Representation, which describes itself as a nonprofit legal foundation based in Arlington, Virginia, whose mission is to challenge in state, federal courts, government distinctions and preferences made on the basis of race. Well, if this isn't made on the basis of race, I don't know what is. It's explicit. Oregon State, Oregon Governor Kate Brown, a Democrat, of course, no need to even wonder, and Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum said last month that the data show that black Oregonians are experiencing disproportionate harm from COVID-19. Well, okay. We must not allow pernicious and ideological motivated lawsuits to impede our efforts to deliver critical resources to our Oregonians amid a devastating pandemic. Boy, if it, if you're against ideologically motivated things, then that's exactly what your black-only aid program's doing. I mean, these people have no idea the stupidity of their comments. It's like they're living in an alternative universe or something. Anyway, that's just your typical leftist. So anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-8-J-O-Y, Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, K-H-O-Y. Doesn't it make you wonder what kind of promise Sleepy Sloppy Joe made to China? Did he submit his soul to China? Over.
Well, I don't know. I think he's just basically a traitor, and he's like Hillary Clinton. They'll do anything for money. It doesn't matter. They couldn't give a damn less about being an American, or they probably see it as an embarrassment. It's just a way for them to make money. That's all they care, and they know the deep state, the Democrats, and the media will protect them. That's really, they have total confidence in that. The only time you'll see them going after Biden is if they want to get Kamala Harris in there, and then they'll throw Biden to the wolves just to get rid of him. Over.
Oh, there's no doubt they're going to throw that man. I said he won't make it a year, but a lot of people say he won't make it to Easter, so that's kind of interesting. I want to acknowledge we have three individuals that are in the listening mode. An N9, no, wait a minute, let me see. I made that wrong. Where's the, there we go. A N4CSG is listening, and a W2DEA is listening. So welcome. If your license is to be on the general ban, you're welcome to check in. Otherwise, just sit back and enjoy. So with that being said, let me go to Joplin, Missouri. I have such good friends in St. Charles, Missouri, so I think of your state often. Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango. Mr. William, over.
Thanks, Bob. Well, this is getting pretty rough tonight. Anyway, my next topic is out of psychology today. The name is called narcissistic abuse, which we are all being victims of narcissistic abuse right now. Anyway, I'll carry on. Narcissists don't really love themselves. Actually, they're driven by shame. It's the idealized image of themselves, which they convince themselves they embody, that they admire. But deep down, narcissists feel the gap between the facade they show the world and the shame they sell. They work hard to avoid that feeling of shame. To feel this gap, narcissists use destructive defense mechanisms that destroy relationships and cause pain, damage to their loved ones, or an entire century of this day. Many of the narcissist coping mechanisms are abusive, hence the term narcissistic abuse. However, someone can be abusive but not be a narcissist. Addicts and people with other mental illnesses, such as antisocial personality disorder, can also be abusive. Abuse is abuse, no matter what the abuser's diagnosis. If you're a victim of abuse,
the main challenge is to your experience
is clearly identifying it, building a support system, and learning how to strengthen and protect yourself. What is narcissistic abuse? Abuse can be emotional, mental, physical, financial, spiritual, or sexual. There are a few examples of abuse you may not have identified. Verbal abuse includes belittling, bullying, accusing, blaming, shaming, demanding, ordering, threatening, criticizing, sarcasm, raging, opposing, undermining, interrupting, blocking, and name-calling. Okay, many people occasionally make demands to use sarcasm, interrupt, oppose, criticize, blame, or block you. Consider the context, malice, and frequency of the behavior before labeling it narcissistic abuse. Manipulation. Generally, manipulation is indirect influence on someone to behave in a way that furthers the goals of the manipulator. Often expresses covert aggression. Thinking of what the cheap covering on the surface, the word seems lonely. And the supplementary. But underneath, you feel the need or sense of hostile intent. If you experience manipulation growing up, you may not recognize it as such. Emotional blackmail. Oh boy, they're good at that. Emotional blackmail may include threats, anger, warnings, intimidation, or punishment. It's a form of manipulation that provokes doubt in you. You feel fear, obligation, and a little guilt, sometimes referred to as fog. Gaslighting. Intentionally making you distrust your perceptions of reality or believe that you're mentally incompetent. Competition. Competing with one of people. You'll always be on top. Sometimes through unethical means. In essence, cheating in a game. Or in an election. Negative contrasting. Unnecessarily making comparisons to negatively contrast to you with the narcissist or other people. Sabotage. Destructive interference with your endeavors or relationships for the purpose of revenge or personal advantage. Exploitation and objectification. Using or taking advantage of you for personal ends without regard for your feelings or needs. Lying. Persistent conception to avoid responsibility or to achieve the narcissist's own ends. Withholding. Withholding such things as money, sex, communication, or affection from you, or a stimulus. withholding.
Sounds great, but I already wrote that.
Very good, that anyway. Neglect.
Ignoring the needs of a child for whom the abuser is responsible, and from his child endangerment, in essence, placing or leaving a child in a dangerous situation. Privacy invasion. Oh, there's another one. Ignoring your boundaries by looking through your things, phone, mail, denying your physical privacy, or stalking or following you. Ignoring the privacy you requested. Character assassination or slander.
There's another big one.
Spreading malicious gossip or lies about you to other people. Violence.
Well, there's another one there.
This includes blocking your movement, pulling hair, throwing things, or destroying your property, or giving Antifa to go burn down a city. Financial abuse. Financial abuse might include controlling you through economic domination or draining your finances for extortion, theft, manipulation, or gambling, or by accruing debt in your name or selling your personal property.
Isolation. Isolating you from your friends, family, or access to outside services and support through control, manipulation, verbal abuse, character assassination, or other means of abuse. Does that not sound like mask laws and lockdown orders?
Narcissism and the severity of abuse exist on a continuum. It may range from ignoring your feelings to violent aggression. Typically, narcissists don't take responsibility for their behavior and shift the blame to you or others. However, some do self-reflect and are capable of feeling guilt.
Malignant narcissism and sociopathy.
As a means of self-protection.
Malignant narcissism can resemble sociopathy. Sociopaths have malformed or damaged brains. They display narcissistic traits, but not all are narcissists.
Not all narcissists are sociopathic. Their motivations differ. Whereas narcissists prop up an ideal persona to be admired, sociopaths change who they are in order to achieve their self-serving agenda. They need to win at all costs and think nothing of breaking social norms and laws. They don't attach to people as narcissists do. Narcissists don't want to be abandoned. They depend on others' approval, but sociopaths can easily walk away from relationships that don't serve them. Although some narcissists will occasionally plot sustained addiction, they are usually more reactive than sociopaths who totally calculate their plans. And that is all I have for this round. So thank you very much for letting me be in here tonight. This is KE0VRT out of Joplin, Missouri. Back to you, Bob.
Thank you, William. KE0VRT, KAHJOY. Appreciate it. Let me go see if Michael's still with us. I hadn't heard him on round number one. November 9, Mike India Charlie. Michael, are you with us? Nothing heard. Let me go to Frank. Whiskey 2, Golf Ida Oscar. This is KAHJOY.
Okay, W2GIO returning. I'm just going to mention the what I mentioned earlier about the COVID Care Critical Alliance and the
drug that they are repurposing, ivermectin, I-V-E-R-M-E-C-T-I-N. And it's reusing it to prevent you from getting the coronavirus. That was the crux of my earlier comment. I know a few people weren't in there that may want to hear this, but it's something that has been shown to be effective, and it's a repurposed drug that's been around for eons. In fact, they use it on some animals for, I forget what it was, but there's an organization that, there's a bunch of articles on it, on that drug. So there you go. Nothing too much else for me. I'll be here just listening, and I'm working on a door mechanism for a washing machine that stopped working, so I'm doing my good deed for the day. WTGIO.
Ah, you're multitasking. What a good male. Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar, thank you, sir. Let me go to good old Knoxville, Tennessee, Mr. Larry, N4ROQ. What do you have for round number two, KAHAOY?
Okay, Bob. Hey, I was listening to Coast AM. Has got the Zodiac Killer coded message there from the serial killer Solved. That I saw it on the news the other day, but it's on the Coast to Coast AM website with George Norrie. You can go to Coast to Coast AM website. And it's a 51-year-old mystery. This guy must have been pretty daggone smart. He had a kid code there. It took him 51 years. 51 years to figure out this guy's code from the serial killer, the Zodiac Killer. His 51-year-old mystery surrounded a message from a notorious serial killer. May have finally been solved. Amateur code breakers from three different countries working together to break the so-called 340 cipher sent to the San Francisco Chronicle in November of 1969 from the notorious Zodiac Killer who terrorized the Bay Area from the late 1960s to the early 1970s. His identity remains unknown. I'll try to bring some more up here on this. I thought this was really interesting. He's got all kinds of letters, and they're turned backwards and filled in a lot of different places. It's kind of unusual. So, I know I couldn't have broken the code. So it was pretty neat that they figured out what he was saying. This guy... this Zodiac Killer must have been a pretty intelligent guy. Yeah. I'm about to get to the other part of it here. Okay, it says, amateur codebreakers, the software engineers, Sam Blake, B-L-A-K-E, from Australia, Belgian, Joel Van, V-A-N, an American cryptographer, David Oracek, O-R-A-N-C-H-A-K, solved the code and sent the results to the FBI, who have confirmed the solution. The 340 refers to the number of symbols in the coded message. Although the anonymous murderer has an earlier sent their results to the FBI, who have confirmed the solution, the 340 refers to the number of symbols in the coded message. Although the anonymous murderer earlier sent what he alleged was his real name in code, the current solution does not appear to reveal any name. The Zodiac, as he called himself, told the police and press with disturbing messages throughout the prolonged spree. Chillingly, the decoded message reads, "I am not afraid of the gas chamber because, as he bizarrely reasoned, I have enough slaves to work for me in paradise." And in any untoning messages, the killer continually expresses his belief that his victims would become his personal servants in the afterlife. The drama spawned numerous books and films, including the plot for the film Dirty Harry, as well as Zodiac, a more accurate treatment of the story, released in
2007. So, kind of unusual there. And as Coast to Coast AM is really a good place to find a lot of good articles on there, and I really enjoy researching it. So if you guys put that on your favorites list, you'll find a lot of good stuff. So we'll go on to another article here. The Senate sends defense bill to Trump. The Senate on Friday approved a wide-ranging defense policy bill, sending it to President Donald Trump, despite his threat to veto the bill because it does not clamp down on big tech companies he claims were biasing during the election. The final vote was 84-13, mirroring a similarly overwhelming margin in the House that, if maintained in both chambers, would be enough to override a potential veto. Congress also passed a bill to fund the government for another week, giving lawmakers time to reach agreement on a new coronavirus relief bill. The Senate approved the funding extension by vote Friday. The House had passed the same bill on Wednesday. The Senate vote on the defense bill has been expected Thursday, but was delayed after Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky objected to the measure, saying it could limit Trump's ability to draw down U.S. troops from Afghanistan and Germany. Congress has approved the bill known as the National Defense Authorization Act for nearly 60 years in a row. The current version affirms 3% pay raises for U.S. troops and authorizes more than $740 billion in military programs and construction. Trump has vowed to veto the bill unless lawmakers impose limits on social media companies he claims were biased against him during the election. He has also said he wants Congress to strip out a provision of the bill that allows renaming of military bases such as Fort Benning and Fort Hood that now honor Confederate leaders. I definitely want to have that done too. We don't need to be changing our base names around. The bill's approval was never in doubt, though Paul's filibuster cast uncertainty on the timing. Paul said Friday that neoconservatives such as Representative Liz Cheney, Republican of Wyoming, are inconsistent in saying they want to give the commander-in-chief powers to begin war, but then they want to restrain and hamstring a president from ending a war. I think it's a pretty important principle to discuss, so we did hold things up for a day. One amendment co-sponsored by Cheney and Democratic Representative Jason Crow of Colorado, an Afghanistan veteran, would block troop withdrawals in Afghanistan unless the Pentagon submits interagency reports certifying that the drawdown would not jeopardize national security. A separate provision pushed by Senator Mitt Romney, here's Romney in there, Republican of Utah and other lawmakers would limit planned troop withdrawal in Germany. Paul singled out Cheney by name in a poor speech, saying that she and her father, former Vice President Dick Cheney, shared a neoconservative belief in perpetual war. Cheney called Paul's actions inexcusable and charged that he delayed hazardous duty pay to hundreds of thousands of service members and their families and kept Congress from completing its greatest duty, providing for the nation's defense. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, in a rare break with Trump, urged passage of the measure despite Trump's threat to veto it. So here's McConnell going against Trump. McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, said it was important for Congress to continue a nearly 60-year streak by passing the National Defense Authorization Act. But this act has got a bunch of stuff in there that's not any good. Why pass it if there's things that need to be taken out? This is ridiculous. Here's one other article here. UN boss: pandemic has exposed gloomy picture of world.
comes from Copenhagen, Denmark. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said Friday the pandemic has exposed long-term fragilities, inequalities, and injustices as the world faces its biggest recession in 8 decades amid a rise in extreme poverty and threat of famine. Guterres spoke from New York during an outline event linked with a Nobel Prize celebration today after the World Food Program was awarded the 2020 Peace Prize. He lamented that there were no joint response to the pandemic, but a fragmented and chaotic reaction. So we'll stop it right there, shoot back up there to you, Bob, from Larry in Tennessee, aka AHJOY, and a great morning here. That's ROQ.
All righty, Larry. Thank you for your input. And for ROQ, KHOY. Next on my list, I'm playing around here with this program. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. Mr. James in Iron River, Wisconsin, it is up to you.
Okay, thanks for turning it over, Bob.
WB9RWY returning.
So, I was thinking about the reparation for going over to Banana Republic type government, and the logic here would be that since my vote has been diluted, it's completely canceled. If that's the way we're going to do it, they could just outright pay me for it, and that would be fair. But I'm pretty sure the new commies in charge will just say, oh, no, that's not necessary because you're going to be getting all kinds of socialist benefits in kind. So just sit down and mind your own business. But I was wondering also about the, has anybody heard about these Chinese army troops training in Canada and even in Mexico? I read an article this week about that. Some of that Canadian army is supposed to be moving to the east end of the country while the Chinese troops are going to be training in so-called cold weather training. But then they also said it was for protecting freshwater resources. So a lot of Canadians are upset about this, and I don't know what the truth is, but I was wondering if anybody on the net had more information about that. It seems kind of suspicious. We got Chinese troops in Canada, and of course we got some in Mexico. And about the coronavirus, this week the Australian member of parliament there was giving a speech about how the testing was not very trustworthy, and that to demonstrate, he was able to show that a glass of Coca-Cola would test positive for the test. And he was shot down immediately and yelled at and told that this isn't appropriate. This is the science, okay? So don't drink too much Coke or you'll end up with a positive test. These are my comments. These are what I'm thinking about. I'm glad we still got ham radio to spread some kind of information around, because you aren't going to hear about these things on the public broadcasts, and certainly not on. We're living in behind the Iron Curtain with propaganda everywhere, absolutely. Every form of media is very heavily biased, and the only thing left is the shortwave radio. I feel sorry for people who are just buying it. They get up in the morning, they turn on the TV, and they believe what they're told. Every day I listen to the TV, and I say, that's not right. Everything is wrong. I don't know where this is going. All right. This is WB9RWY, back to the net.
All righty, James. Well, thank you. And I do want to comment on that. Today at lunch, one of the retired telephone employees, WBXCXO, here in my area, he brought up that topic of discussion about the Chinese troops are in Canada and they're in the area near the state of Maine, and they're doing cold weather training. So you're the second person I've heard that. I don't know whether Mike got his information, but He made mention of that, over.
Okay, well, it was on the internet. Might have been PG Media that I got it from. But that doesn't make any sense because obviously the Chinese have plenty of close places to do their training. And I heard that they have been working in an isolated area that's supposed to be off limits to everybody. Okay, let's find out what's going on. Over.
Well, that's true. It will be interesting to find. It gets them closer to our country. I don't know. All righty. Next is Mr. Ritchie, KB2DMD, KAHJOY. What do you have for us, Mr. Ritchie?
KAHJOY and the Liberty Net. This is KB2DMD returning. Yeah, I forgot about that. I heard that, too. I didn't know they were in Mexico, too, though, PLA troops. But, that went right back to the old Mark Kornacki VHS tapes that used to get passed around. Talking about foreign troops, there used to be a lot of sightings here on U.S. soil of Ukrainian, Russian, always shrouded in mystery, rail cars with, T-57 tanks painted in U.N. white and, you know, really weird stuff like that, and it reported by some pretty reliable people. So, the whole cold weather training, that's obviously a farce, as the previous fellow pointed out. China doesn't lack for cold weather environments to train their troops. When they give something as incredible as this such a flimsy cover, Bob, it just makes you wonder even more, especially the timing of this thing in the current political environment. really interesting stuff. So who knows? And they're south of us too now, huh? I'm not surprised. I don't know what to make of that. Like I said earlier in my last comment, I've never seen such a lack of solid information. There's just so much is shrouded in mystery. This big question mark power hangs over so much of this stuff now, and who really knows? Well, one guess is as good as another in the absence of solid intel. So and Lowry brought up the Zodiac killer. He still comes up from time to time. They figure, well, the guy's got to be dead by now. But I read a lot about him. I used to have a pretty good book on the Zodiac, and it was pretty fascinating. And my deduction from that whole thing was the guy was probably Naval Security Group. And the reason I say that is two things. He always left footprints from Wing Walker shoes, which are, that's like, standard issue pretty much in a Navy base exchange. So, that was like his footwear of choice. The cryptography, of course, which wasn't as unbreakable as it was said to be. I remember the big one that they published, what was it, in the SF Chronicle, I think, on the front page. And they supposedly had sent that cryptogram, with all he was using, it was very, very strange substitutions, because they were, astronomy symbols, and stuff like that. And apparently the cops had sent a copy of that message to NSA, and NSA wrote back and said, we can't do anything with it. It's unsolvable. Yeah, right. It's unsolvable if one of your own guys wrote it, and it's making you look really bad, and people at NSA at Fort Meade are getting really nervous, maybe. But then an amateur cryptographer, some math teacher and his wife, sat down, and instead of playing Scrabble one night, they attacked that code, and they broke it in a couple hours, and then gave the plain text to the Chronicle the next day. So, it was very, and I'll tell you, a lot, they even made a really cheesy movie about Zodiac, at least one. And one thing that people forget, Bob, there was one that got away. He got in his car and he followed a woman one night that was riding with her infant daughter on the seat next to her, and he pulled alongside of her, and he motioned to her back wheel. There's something wrong with your back wheel. Pull over. And she did, and he got out and very politely explained, your lug nuts are loose on your left rear wheel. You just sit there, ma'am, and I'll take care of it for you. And, dutifully, went and got his lug wrench and loosened all the lug nuts on it. Probably, took them all off and put two back on, like, finger tight, or just started them a couple of threads on the stud, So, she took off and got, 30 feet down the road, and her wheel fell off. And, he was right there to help. Well, he picked her up and the infant daughter and put them put them in his car in the front seat next to him. And then, as he drove, explained how he was, collecting slaves for the afterlife, and that they would be joining the rest of the slaves he's collected so far tonight. They'd be dead tonight, and on and on. And, I mean, the woman is petrified. Well, the Zodiac took an off ramp, and as he was descending the off ramp in this big long circle, it was a grassy hillside to the passenger side of the off ramp. The woman just grabbed up her daughter and figured, hey, dead is dead, but I'll take a chance. And grabbed up her daughter, held her close, opened the car door, and flung herself out. Down the hill she went with her daughter. They both survived, praise God. And they both got away from that scoundrel. And live to tell the tale and give a vivid description. So there's a lot of question marks in that case, the way evidence was handled, the way things were oddly overlooked or maybe told to be overlooked. People were warned. I don't know. There seemed to be some really unusual ties between this guy and military intelligence. And perhaps it would have been an embarrassment for certain agencies if the truth would have came out about him being the killer. I don't know, but there was a lot of a lot more mystery to it than just an unsolved crime, Bob. KA8JOY and Liberty Net. This is KB2DMD.
Interesting information. Thank you, KB2DMD, KHOY. I'm going to go out of turn just for a moment. I'm doing NetLogger, and I'm watching the instant messaging, and a gentleman from Boise, Idaho, messaged me. So I'm going to see if I can pick him up and put him on the list. So Kilo 7, Tango, Sierra Whiskey, Mr. Ted, do you copy? KAAJOY. Nothing heard, so I'm going to go back to the next, Richard. Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie. Richard, it's up to you.
Okay, Bob. KAAKOYWDAYC. Well, for one thing, I've been getting a bad throat lately, and I can't hardly get my voice out. But anyway, I was really interested in skimmed across it, but I heard him say that down under? I can't think of my words anymore, so I hate to get in much of a conversation. Australia. He said in Australia, some people took this supposed
thing for the COVID-19, and they ended up with a baby. I don't know where he got that. I'd just like to see that article. I'm scared. I'm not scared yet, but I'm not going to take it. I just made up my mind. Heck, I'm 68 years old. You know, I'm not going to take a damn shot that comes from the government. You know, like 20, 30 years ago, I probably would have done it. But after the things I've seen now and the things things that you can't say aren't real or say are true because they're on video tape, you know. So I don't trust. I don't watch TV, but I listen to these videos. It's just sickening. So go ahead with it, but I just wanted to say I was interested in that, and I wonder where that came from. But anyway, go ahead, K-A-A-J-O-Y, Bob, go ahead with everybody else, W-D-8-A-Y-C.
All righty, Richard, W-D-8-A-Y-C. I think you were asking where did I get my information, correct?
Yeah.
So it was a flyer that was at one of the local restaurants, and at the bottom of it, it says for additional resources. And the two websites that they are quoting from are Children's Health Defense, CHILDRENS, Children's Health, HEALTH, Defense, DEFENSE.org. And the other one is Freedom Platform, FREEDOM PLATFORM.TV, Children's Health Defense.org, FreedomPlatform.TV.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's something. I'm trying to look those up and see what it says. Okay, thanks a lot. WB80YC.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you for inquiring. So I'm going to move on to Mr. Moe, just to make sure he's awake and he's enjoying the evening. KD0RSA. Mr. Moe, KHAY, do you have anything to add? Over.
KD0RSA, Moe here in the master. No, I don't have nothing to add, except that I heard that the people in Australia that took the vaccine now are testing for HIV. So I'm not a vaccine taker, so I just recommended that you fellas and women and whoever don't take the vaccine, because Bill Gates is behind it and he's trying to take down the population of the whole world. And so with all that HIV around, it's definitely going to kill a few people. KD0RSA, back to JOY, over.
All righty, Mo, I agree with you. I am not going to take it. I have an email from somebody that says our politicians should take it first. If they survive the vaccine, then it's okay. If the vaccine kills them, then America's okay. So I am not going to stand in line. I don't take the flu vaccine. I am not taking the COVID vaccine. And as my daughter said, and I think Mr. Ritchie made the comment, a 10-year-old bottle of Clorox talks about coronavirus. There are 47 strains of coronavirus. COVID-19 is only one of them. So there is just some suspicion there. So I'm at the bottom of my list. Let me see if I have anybody late, and then I'll make one comment. This is KHOI for the Great Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I'm going to add a couple more things from this article that I read. It's talking about, despite devastating side effects, vaccine trials contribute to warp speed with new RNA vaccine technology, never tested on humans before. Vaccine companies have zero liability for any injury. Let me restate that again. vaccine companies have zero liability for any injury that you might get from this warp speed vaccine. That should scare you in itself. Tests are rising, but deaths are falling. In many regions, testing is greatly increased. However, the deaths have gone down dramatically. An overwhelming percentage of positive cases are not sick or contagious people, but healthy people that show positive for either COVID-19, if you get the test that goes all the way to the back of your brain, or coronavirus, if you get the quick test. They're counting them all as positive. That is a sham. With that being said, Mr. Bill, on the 73 round, what do you have to sum up your night? KO4FE, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, you know, I'm just amazed at reading these stories about this critical race theory and this white privilege stuff and these white fragility. The money that's going into this stuff is amazing, and here's yet another case. And I've got one after this. Lexington, Kentucky mayor trying to move emergency aid funds to critical race theory training. Well, this critical race theory, let me say this first, and I've mentioned this before. This is just a subset of an ideology that was created by the communists, the revisionist Marxists, Herbert Marcuse, Max Horkheimer. There was a whole slew of them, but they came up with this critical theory back in the 40s and 50s, and it's been percolating in the left for years. And this critical race theory is a subset or a derivative of the general Marxist critical theory. So let's get that out of the way. We're talking about communist ideology here. So anyway, getting back to the story. And if you want any proof of that, go on YouTube, look up cultural Marxism, the Frankfurt School, anything like that. You'll get plenty of videos, or at least you used to. Maybe they banned them all by now. But anyway, you can find it on the internet. Frankfurt School Critical Theory. Either of those two will give you plenty of information. You'll know the Marxists. I mean, they don't even hide it. It's not a secret. They've written books about it. All right, so let's get into this article. Lexington, Kentucky Mayor Linda Gorton is under fire for recently proposing to redirect $120,000 from funds earmarked for an emergency rental assistance program to instead provide critical race theory, otherwise known as by the acronym CRT, training to council members. The assistance program was aimed at helping people that had suffered financial blows from the Chinese coronavirus pandemic. Gorton is trying to take $120,000 specifically allocated for housing assistance from the assistance program's $1.9 million budget and use it for diversity training. Even the Lexington Housing Justice Collective, a charity fighting to end homelessness, and so-called white supremacist foundations of housing in Lexington acknowledged via Twitter that the mayor's proposal comes amid an already deeply underfunded rental assistance program. So even the civil rights groups, the black groups, are complaining that she's taking money away from their rental assistance to fund this critical race theory training. It says, although the group conceded it did not disagree with CRT training, it added on a Twitter Saturday the proposal as part of Mayor Gorton's response to the Commission for Racial and Equality, but black and brown people were disproportionately evicted. Taking money from rental assistance does not advance racial justice. It means more black and brown people will lose their homes. Yeah, but they don't care about black and brown people. They want to funnel money into their, they want to funnel money into people like D'Angelo and the rest of these self-hating white Marxists that are making tons of money off this stuff. So anyway, in further proof of that, here's a story from the Washington Free Beacon. Prominent diversity consulting firm funded entirely by taxpayer dollars. I mean, why Trump hasn't put an end to crap like this, I don't know. Where's Betsy DeVos on this? A prominent equity consulting firm that conducts so-called anti-racist training is funded entirely by taxpayer dollars, tax filings revealed. The Mid-Atlantic Equity Consortium, known by the acronym as MAEC, is a self-proclaimed social justice nonprofit that conducts anti-racist audits for corporations and schools, often in partnership with far-left groups such as the Southern Poverty Law Center. The consortium was recently awarded a lucrative contract by Maryland's largest school district and works with educators across 15 states. MAEC's influence comes at taxpayers' expense. According to its most recent tax filing, the group hauled in $2 million solely from government grants between mid-2018 and mid-2019. So they're getting $2 million a year for this propaganda. It has not reported a single private donation in 4 years. MAEC's reach is made possible thanks to a partnership with the Department of Education. There you go. That's run by Betsy DeVos and Trump. Why are they still funding this crap? Trump put out a executive order banning this kind of nonsense, and why is it still going on? Anyway, equity firms have profited greatly from the burgeoning anti-racist movements in academia. There you go. It's all a liberal money-making scheme. The MAEC was awarded $455,000 in contracts with the Montgomery County Public School District to conduct an anti-racist audit of the school's policies. In nearby Loudoun County, a similar consulting firm raked in $423,000 in 2 years. Prominent diversity consultants such as White Fragility author Robin DiAngelo make nearly $13,000 for a single speaking gig on college campuses. The MAEC also touts a handful of left-leaning educational partners, including the Southern Poverty Law Center's Teaching Tolerance arm, which pushes for students to learn about slavery beginning in kindergarten. The consortium is considered the main equity firm in the Mid-Atlantic region. The MAEC has raked in a steady stream of government grants over the years. Of the $19 million the group has raised since 2001, $17 million is from taxpayer-backed cash, according to reviews of its recent filings. Yeah, the government's funding this anti-white Marxist propaganda. It's just unbelievable. I mean, these leftists have got just a network of money funneling pipelines going from the government back and forth from one tax exempt foundation to another, taking in money from billionaires like Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos' wife has put in hundreds of millions of dollars into these kind of programs. And how else are you going to keep all these liberals employed? They can't make any money in the private market with their worthless degrees in sociology and multicultural education and diversity programs. Where else? No legitimate company would hire them to do anything. So they've set up this whole industry that's basically bash white people and receive millions of dollars from the government. It's really unbelievable. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate your comments and participation tonight. KO4FE, KJOY. Let me go to the next Bill. In Joplin, Missouri, Kilo Echo Zero, Victor Romeo Tango. This is KAAJOY.
Thank you very much, Bob. This is KE0VRT, Joplin, Missouri. And my last article on the narcissist theme is flying monkeys. That has to do with the media, the internet for us, as well as the PRM is on here. Anyone who remembers watching The Wizard of Oz as a child will probably remember the how horrifying the Wicked Witch of the West flying monkeys were. These monkeys were sent by the witch to kill everybody once, and the phrase has just become synonymous with people who end up doing the dirty work of a narcissist. Flying monkeys get caught up in a narcissist's plan, often to damage the life of another person. The narcissist may use the flying monkeys as sticks in the middle, sharing information from party to party. The flying monkey may use gaslighting tactics, such as aggression and guilt tripping, in order to make another person feel bad and weak. This showing up the narcissist. And they're often involved in pleading the case of the narcissist. Narcissists love having at least one flying monkey as it makes them feel important and means they can appear to be above the people below them. On both sides, they're caught up in the messy place of the drama. The narcissist often recruits his or her flying monkeys from among other friends, family members, such as siblings, spouses, or children. Close friends or work colleagues may also become flying monkeys. I'm sure we've all come across bosses at the income agency wouldn't be able to function without a band of helpers prepared to help, prepared to get their hands dirty. Rosie describes how she has been a better flying monkey up until the point she realized she was involved in a particular illegal action. I felt very threatened by my brother, she told me. He was extremely aggressive and emotionally abusive, and I felt safe in keeping with him. That might involve speaking on our trip up and siblings, sending emails, and generally defending my brother whenever he'd acted out of line. I got to the point where I was blinded as to what was right or wrong. I just wanted to be his best friend because I saw him as the strongest in the family and stopped turning on me. Some of the reasons people become flying monkeys include self-preservation and protection. Example is Rosie's motivation to become her brother's flying monkey was understandable and was based on self-preservation. Like other people who do a narcissist dirty work for them, she didn't pay much attention, any attention, to the impact of her actions. Her need to look after herself is far greater than her need to protect anyone else. Forming an alliance with a person perceived as the strongest member of the family or organization is one reason people adopt this role. Telling tales, spreading misinformation, and using gaslighting techniques against anyone who dares to question a narcissist might just mean you get to keep your job and don't find yourself on the receiving end of a narcissistic rage. Recruiting the narcissistic victim. If you tend to fall into a rescuing role, you may feel compelled to wrestle with the force of the narcissist who blames everyone and everything for whatever is going wrong in their life. If you look for the narcissist, make sure inbuilt need to feel valued and needed because of your rescuing role. A loss of extensive thought. Some flying monkeys are so browbeaten by the narcissist they have far less capacity than otherwise might be expected when it comes to knowing right from wrong. They may have experienced years of emotional abuse at the hands of the narcissist or have lost a sense of self and independent decision making along the way. Loving the drama. Sometimes monkeys really thrive on the drama. When you're involved with a narcissist, it's almost inevitable that you'll be involved in a few dramas along the way.
What can beat the adrenaline of being caught up in lies, secrecy, and deception?
Being a narcissist, flying monkeys often have a strong narcissistic trait themselves, including a desire for attention, a lack of empathy, and a desire to bully and manipulate others. They may be involved in a family situation which they know is their best opportunity to fulfill their narcissistic desires, thanks from allying themselves with a more powerful narcissist. If you had your fill of trying to find a mercy, the narcissist in your life is unlikely to be happy about it, and at least may not want anything to do with you once you cease to be of use. Being used by a narcissist to take care of some of the least desirable aspects of their business is always going to place you in a compromised, stressful environment, and you should ensure that you have the appropriate support place when you choose to change your role. And that is all I have for this week, so... 73 for everybody, and it's great to be on here. I wish the conditions would have been better, so we'll just play for next week. Keep your powder dry, guys, and we'll catch you next week. 30, zero to you. Back to you, Bob.
All righty. Well, thank you for coming and joining us. Definitely appreciate it. So 73s, stay with us for the rest if you have the time. I'm going to move down to Frank. If you're still busy, Frank, you can just not transmit. Whiskey 2, Golf, Ida, Oscar, K-H-A-O-I. Do you have any final comments? Over.
Yeah, W-T-G-I-O. Not really. I'm ready to take my washing machine door lock down to the basement and hook it up to a power supply and see if the bimetal strip clicks on it. See if it does what it's supposed to do. But anyhow, yeah, I'm thank you for everybody. And, by the way, there is good news. Yeah, there's great news. That God loves us. Back to you, Bob. W2GIO.
Frank, I really appreciate when you say that each week. Thank you very much. W2GIO, God does love us. And we really need to pray for our president and pray for all this carrying on that he will look kindly upon us. And please, dear Lord, don't let sleepy, sloppy Joe Biden and crazy Kamala Harris be in office. So thank you, Frank. Good luck with your repairs. Down to Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, K-A-H-A-O-Y.
Okay, thank you, Bob. I thought it was a good article on all these mystery monoliths. The mystery monoliths. Oh, they're everywhere now. This is on Coast to Coast AM's website. And I just, I just cut it off. Let me see if I can get it to come back on here. I did something there on my computer and knocked it off. But I remember a lot of what was said. There's first started out in Utah, and then California, and then overseas, I believe in Romania. And now they're all over the place. I mean, all over the place. Okay, I got it back. The mystery monoliths have become a bona fide global phenomenon with the puzzling pieces appearing in all manner of places around the world. The strange trend began back in late November when the first object was found in a remote corner of the Utah desert. This led to a lot of news stories about the bizarre discovery, which captured the imagination of the public. The appearance of a second monolith soon occurred in Romania, followed by a third in California, and with that, it appears, the floodgates were opened. Over the past few weeks, the mystery monoliths have multiplied at an astounding rate, with new pieces popping up in random places several times a day in both urban and remote locations. In some instances, artists have taken credit for creating and installing the objects, and in other cases, the origin remains a mystery. And more than often than not, the monoliths only appear for a short period of time before they are removed by local governments or sticky-fingered individuals looking to get their hands on the latest sensation. While documenting each and every monolith to appear since the craze began seems nearly impossible,
beautiful Wikipedia editors are attempting to do just that and have compiled a comprehensive and ongoing list of locations where the objects have been found so far. As of this writing, the pieces have appeared twice in Canada, 14 times across 11 European countries, as well as in the South American by a monolith spotted in Colombia and in Africa by way of objects in Morocco. Meanwhile, here in America, 12 monoliths have appeared throughout 8 states in the District of Columbia. At this rate, it is no longer a question of if we'll see more monoliths, but rather where the next one will appear, and perhaps more importantly, when the odd fad will finally come to an end. Now, this is very unusual. If you guys have seen those triangular monoliths, they're just either stainless steel or look like aircraft aluminum. They're about 10 plus feet tall, and they're installed usually in the ground. So it's really unbelievable what the monoliths are, I don't know if anyone knows, what's causing these or why they're being put up. But anyway, it must be a fad, or it could be something, UFOs, who knows? But they're coming up all over the place. Kind of hard to explain them, looks like. Okay, I'll close the computer up here and see if I can find one more article here. Thanks, Bob, for running the net again. And let's see. There's the police budget is cut in Minneapolis. So targeting staffing levels for sworn officers and TAC, it says Associated Press, the Minneapolis City Council unanimously approved a budget Thursday that will shift about $8 million from the police department towards violence prevention and other services, but will keep the mayor's targeted staffing levels for sworn officers intact in hopes of averting a possible veto. Mayor Jacob Fry, F-R-E-Y, to veto the entire budget if the council went ahead with its plan to cap police staffing, could the vote was a definite or defining moment for the city, which has experienced soaring crime rates amid calls to defund the police since the May 25th death of George Floyd. We all share a deep and abiding reverence for the role our local government plays in service of the people of our city. And today there are good reasons to be optimistic about the future in Minneapolis. The city council had initially proposed to cut the city's authorized police force to 750 officers, down from the current level of 888 beginning in 2022. But it backtracked on that plan late Wednesday after the mayor called it irresponsible. The council voted 7-6 to remove language that lowered the cap. Supporters call the city council's plan Safety for All, the latest version of the Defund the Police movement that Minneapolis and other cities have considered since Floyd's death, ignited mass demonstrations against police brutality and a nationwide reckoning with racism. The plan cuts nearly $8 million from Fry's $179 million policing budget and redirects it to mental health teams, violence prevention programs, and other initiatives. More than 300 Minneapolis residents signed up to speak about the proposal Wednesday, with some pleading for city council members to deliver the reforms they promised after Floyd's death, and others warning it would be irresponsible to cut officers. Some in favor of the plan called police officers cowards, gang members, white supremacists or terrorists. They spoke about violence that African Americans and other minorities have experienced at the hands of police. Those against the plan said the city council was acting irresponsible and has bungled its attempts to bring change. They cited increased violence, saying they don't feel safe. The article goes on. It's in the Associated Press, and this came out on Friday, so it would have been yesterday. I was right there and shoot it back up to you, Bob. And I hope you're feeling better and everything's going good with you there, buddy. Good to hear you. And Miss Jessie in there tonight. So I hope Jessie's all right. We'll shoot it back to you, K88JR Ralph and M4ROQ Larry and Kinsley.
All righty, Larry. Yeah, I'm kind of amazed. I'll shout out to him at the end and see if he's around. But thank you, sir. Thank you for being part of the Liberty Net, the Great Liberty Net tonight. I appreciate it. With that being said, I'll move to Iron River, Wisconsin. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. What do you have to say at the 73 round to close? Over.
Oh, that's I wanted to make a couple of comments, one of them about the F-16 crash, which was kind of in this region, and it was a couple of days before we heard that the pilot was actually died from that crash, and I think we wanted to offer our condolences to the family, and we certainly don't like to see losses or any of the armed forces. The pilot, I understand, was a veteran of various around the world. And
yeah, hold on there. They might give you a chance there in a minute.
But I don't know what happened, and I don't know if we'll really get to know. Unless you're in the business and looking for that information, you may not know what actually occurred. And then I found it interesting today that I was at the shooting range, and where they sell ammunition, they said that there was no 30-06 ammunition available, and they've been out of stock for quite a while. And the proprietor said that generally the supplies end up getting sent to different places where the deer season is active, and so our U.S. season is over, and so other markets are getting the ammunition, but I don't know if I have ever seen that happen before. And then, of course, about the renaming of the Confederate Army bases, I really didn't think that was necessary, because it's part of preserving history, and if you're going to just throw out everything, it's bad. It's just the fact that history is not perfect, people aren't perfect. And certainly, at the time of the end of the Civil War, it's part of preserving the peace, or at least winning the peace, to permit the Confederate States to honor whoever they thought was serving honorably. And I understand that the General Robert E. Lee was one of the most formidable generals ever produced by West Point. And, of course, I wouldn't know that unless history had been preserved. So, those are my comments for the night, and 73 to the net. Good night, everybody, from WB9RWY.
Thank you, James. Thank you for participating. We appreciate you being with us tonight for the Liberty Net. Whiskey Bravo 9, Romeo Whiskey Yankee. We appreciate it. Down to Mr. Richie in beautiful Pennsylvania, KB2DMD, KAHJOY.
Yeah, it was beautiful before all this boat theft, out and out fraud. It's pretty shameful. But especially Philadelphia, Bob, KAHJOY, KB2DMD returning. Yeah, the birthplace of very many things that mattered. In the founding of this nation. So, yeah. But that's what we've got. And Nothing else to add, really. Appreciate you running the net, Bob. Very vital in times like these. And certainly I don't think this is like anything we've faced before. So there's no such thing as too much news and information, especially the variety that the people bring to this net, because it's far removed from what the horror media brings people day in and day out. Nothing but fear and disinformation and indoctrination, and that's something that we don't do here at all. In fact, do the exact opposite and try to bypass and cut through a lot of that malarkey. So very enjoyable as usual. Good comments from Bill, and God willing, see you next time. If we don't, have a blessed Christmas. KAHJOY and the Liberty Net. KB2DMD listening out. 73, Bob.
73, Richie. Well, God willing, you'll be here for the next Liberty Net. We appreciate your commitment to being with us. We've had several people jump in and out. We've still got one gentleman from Brooklyn, New York, Whiskey 2 Delta Echo Alpha, Mr. Raymond. He's listening. We've messaged a few times on the sidebar here, so we have people that are just listening, so that's great. So thank you, Richie. I'm going to go down to Paris, Ohio, the heart of it all, the great state of Ohio. Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie. Mr. Richard, do you copy, and what do you got to say for the end, the last round? I think you said K Kilo 4 Juliet Sierra Mike. Alrighty, Alan. Well, I've got two more participants, and I will come to you. I'll end it with you. Is that good?
No, okay. We'll be standing by you because I do have a couple of comments that I would like to make. I didn't know if this network was going on tonight, so I definitely got some comments I'd like to make.
Alrighty. Well, let me get back to you. So, let me see if I can get Mr. Richard from Paris, Ohio. Whiskey Delta 8, Alpha Yankee Charlie. Are you still with us?
Yeah, Bob. Yeah, I just heard, before I started talking, I heard him calling, so I just waited. Yeah, and I'll make it quick, because I really don't have much, and then you can, I want to hear what the new guy wants to say. And all that can take us is this election. And the people of this country, they're the only ones that believe that, or that will admit there was all kinds of terrible things. It seems like the governors and the people that run the people, you know, even the people that are in the vicinity that work in the polling places and stuff. And if nobody believes it, they don't admit it. And they keep saying there's no proof. And there's no proof because they don't want there to be. But it's just making me sick because the stuff I heard tonight, it's getting close. It's getting really close. And I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, go ahead. The next guy, and then pick the other guy up, and I hope to see you Wednesday, WD8AYC.
All righty, sir, WD8AYC, KHOY. And I have one more to check on, Mr. Moe, KD0RSA in the great state of Nebraska. Do you have anything to close for, Mr. Moe? Nothing heard from Mr. Moe, so Alan in Gastonia, North Carolina. Kilo Ida 4, Juliet Sierra Mike. Sir, it is your turn. Go ahead.
This is Kilo India 4, Juliet Sierra Mike. The name is Alan. Number one, we're glad to sign y'all, and this is how this went on. Found out.
their campus department. I was in that security for 97. I know what it is. I know that people have to be protected from crime. And to do away with the police officers, they shall be there to command to protect that city. Nobody can do away with law enforcement, they shall be there to protect the city. And to take the guns away from the city, they shall be there to protect nobody. Number one, you can't take our guns. Number two, you can't do away with the law enforcement. You can't cut back on the law enforcement. If anything, there needs to be more in law enforcement. There needs to be the way people can study without that and go through so much rigor before we say that the law. I've been in law enforcement. Deal with them. Don't take everybody's stuff with a guy that's taking it up as they deserve. I've got things. And to protect people, don't make them suffer for what it's been done. And number two, if something is not done, the fraudulent people and these people that is influencing
We need to take a stand and we need to bring America back. The last 4 years, Donald J. Trump has definitely made America great. So we basically need to stand up against this tyranny, really. So I agree, sir. Well, thank you for joining us every Wednesday night, every Saturday night, $39.95, starting at 2200 hours Eastern Standard Time. So, please try to come back and join us. So you are the last comment for the night. So I am going to close the window on this night's Liberty Net. I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors that are out to sea that are listening to the Liberty Net. Thank you, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your service. God bless you out there. And 73 to all other netters, including Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, N2IRJ, Miss Laura, N2JTTF, because they are absent. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country and for God to bless our president, and may we win this still. I've got my fingers crossed. So with that being said, good night and 73.